The following is a message of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
Good morning. It's good to see you. Like they said, my name is Adam. I'm the student pastor here if you don't know me. It's good to see all you. I'm so glad to be here with you. And just a minute ago, I think Ivy might have been either taking a jab at me by saying that I wouldn't help with the chairs with her and Dave the next day. Or she was letting me off the hook by saying, hey, Adam doesn't have to help with the chairs. So either way, I don't really know what to think, but I'll take that up with Ivy later and see what that was all about. Yeah, she was sitting right behind me too. It's kind of dangerous. But yeah, I'm so excited to be here with you guys this morning. And Ellis, our pastor, got stuck in Houston last night. His flight was canceled, so he called me and said, hey, is there any way that you could fill in for me and speak at Central? And I said, absolutely, I'd love to. And I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. But just as we start this morning, I just want to continue that idea of thinking for and praying for these families that were so devastated last night in these crazy storms and everything like that. So if you will, please just allow me and join with me for just a minute in thinking for and praying for those families as we get started this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you kept us all safe and you allowed us to be here to worship you. Father, we just pray in this time of such devastating loss and this time where there seems to be no reason, Father, that you can only offer help and peace and comfort and protection and provision and everything in these times, Father. I pray that we all lean on you and we seek you in these times, Father. And for those dealing with loss, either of property or much more, with people and losing loved ones, Father, I pray that you just surround them with the comfort and a peace that only you can give, Father, and just be with us this morning with all the weather and everything that continue to happen. Father, I pray that you just work in these situations in these moments. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. In the wake of such devastating loss, in the times where there is no reason, like what's going on? It makes the message of Christmas just a couple days ago so much more meaningful. And it's also true that Mark is incredibly sick, and he asked Aaron to completely rework the set and get ready for this morning, and they did such a great job doing that and getting ready to lead in worship this morning. But that song that they picked, the God with Us song, is just so incredible for this morning and for where we are, because that's the core message of what we're going to be thinking about and talking about this morning. That God with Us idea. We've all just been reminded of that greatest story ever told, the best message, the most beautiful message that we have, that Emmanuel story, the story of God being with us. This God that desires to be with us every day, to walk through life with us, and most importantly, to use us to spread his message to the world. And the most beautiful part about that is that he wants to use you and he wants to use me in whatever we have to offer and whatever state that we're in. The same love and that same message is real and available for every single one of us and for everyone who will have it. We're about to enter a time of the year where we challenge ourselves to do big things. But most of the time, we're trying to get or to do something that we perceive to be better than what we already have or who we already are. There's a saying that Christ can take our mess and make it his message. And one of the things that I get the privilege of reminding the students about all the time is that God is not waiting on a better version of ourselves. God's not waiting on a better version of us to do the work that he has for us to do. He wants to take us right where we are with everything that we have and everything that he has given us and to use us in powerful ways. A few verses that remind us of that. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that he became sin who knew no sin, so that we might become his righteousness, so that we might be in right standing with God the Father. We might be in right standing with Christ. We may look more like him. Philippians 3 tells us that a time is coming and is now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And what that simply means is that in spirit is inside of us, and the way that we believe, the way that we love, the way that we worship God, and then in truth is the way that we act, the way that we go out and we use the things that God has gifted us with. Romans 12 reminds us that when we are able to transform the way that we think, to think in a different way than most of us usually think, different from thinking from a thinking that's formed by the stresses and the patterns of this world, different than those empty promises that most of us make to ourselves without really even having any intention of pursuing those things. And when we're able to transform that way that we think, then we will be able to test and approve what his will is. And says it is his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. And he wants that for us. He wants us to be able to see and to act in his will, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. So we really have to take an assessment of where we are, what we're doing, and how well we're doing it. Because it's not what we don't have that keeps us from living this message and from sharing this story. It's wasting or not realizing what we do have and using what God has gifted us with. You see, each and every one of us are equipped with the exact tools that we need and can be empowered to use those in incredible ways. And I hope that you believe that. So maybe this year, as we head into the new year, we can be the ones to not get defeated by this idea of more. If only we had more money, more time, more resources, more authority, more grace, more power, more options, or more opportunities, then maybe we'd be able to do something. If we live in this vicious lie where if we can only have more, if we can only do more, then we'll be able to actually make a difference. If we live in that lie, there's a couple of things that will always be true. The first thing is that there will always be more. And the second thing is that you and I will never be enough. If we live in that lie of if I can only have more, then I'll be able to do something, those things will always be true. There will always be more. And we will never be enough. And to be honest with you, when Ellis called last night, I said yes immediately, of course, and said, I would love to do that. And then almost immediately, I started fighting that battle of more in my head and saying, if only I had more time, if only I had more experience, if only if I had more knowledge, if only whatever, if only I had more. But then as I started to pray and say, God, what do you want me to say? I just felt like he was just saying, just be still. I've given you everything that you need. Just tell my story and ask other people to do the same. I just felt like he was telling us to do that as we go into this new year and as we prepare ourselves for that. You see, that's so true for us. We have everything that we need right here, right now, to do what God is calling us to do. We have everything we need to be healthy, to be vibrant, to be growing, to be vessels of Christ's message and to make an impact with our lives every day, in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our communities. But it all centers on that one question: are we doing well with what we have? You see, we all know the reality. Everywhere we look, the church and ourselves, we're under scrutiny. We have so many seemingly viable reasons to not try or to give up or to hide or to quit. But that reality does not override the greater reality that God still calls us to engage in our world, to share his love and to tell his story. None of us are exempt from his call, from this calling. Let's look at that passage in 2 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. It says this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And then right after that is that verse that says that he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness and take on that message of reconciliation and take on that message of sharing his story with everyone else. You know, the question will never be if we have something in our hand, if we have the tools that we need. The only question will be, what are you doing or what am I doing with the thing that you have? Well, you say, but I can't sing. That's okay. I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know enough about the Bible. It's okay. I've never prayed in public before. I've never shared my story with anybody. It's okay. God has given you everything that you need. You're exactly who God wants, and what you do have, he gave you. He didn't make a mistake. One of the best stories in Scripture to put this into perspective is about a guy named Gideon, who had to use what he had to defeat a much bigger army or enemy. If you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 7, and that's where we'll be for the rest of the morning. So Judges chapter 7. We're going to start reading in verse 1. We're going to break this up into a few different readings. So here we go, starting in verse 1. It says this: "Then Gideon and all of the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands. For Israel would become boastful, saying, "My own power has delivered me." Now therefore come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, "Whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead." So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go with you. But everyone of whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "You shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink." Now the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people kneeled to drink the water. The Lord said to Gideon, "I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hands, so let all the other people go, each man to his home." So the first thing that this story shows us is that in order to do well with what we have to actually know what we have. See, Gideon's preparing to go into battle here, and at his side are thousands of soldiers. It makes us reference to like 32,000 soldiers are standing there with thousands of people. And God then puts Gideon and his army through a series of tests to eliminate the unnecessary clutter that would prevent God from getting the glory. You see, it said that if they were to go into battle with that many people, then they would say to themselves that it is for my glory, it's by my power that we have won this battle. And so in order to get rid of that clutter and to give God the glory, he put this army through several tests. And Gideon did not need the 30,000 men to destroy the enemy. He only needed 300 of the right ones. The entire purpose of getting rid of the soldiers was to eliminate the things Gideon thought he needed for victory. God does the exact same things with us. You have what you have. You can do what you can do. You are who you are because it's exactly what God needed in order for you to do what God wants you to do. You are the best you that will ever live. No one can replace you. So know who you are and what you have. Don't get caught up in the trap of thinking that you have to have what others have in order to be used by God, or that you have to wait for a time when you are a better version of yourself. It's a lie. Let's keep reading, starting in verse 8. So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands. And Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you are afraid, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp. and you will hear what they say. And afterward, your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Purah, his servant, down to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. Their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friends. And he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian. And it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. His friend replied, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all this camp into his hand. When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all of them, with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, for the Lord and for Gideon. So in order to do well the second thing that we must do is we must empower what we have. So the first thing is we have to know what we have. The second thing is we have to empower what we have. You see, these 300 men at Gideon's, remaining at Gideon's side, must have thought to some degree that this was kind of a crazy plan. Especially hearing the report coming back from all of these, where it said the people were as numerous as locusts, and even their camels were too many to count. And so he's coming back with this report, and these people must have been thinking, man, this is a crazy plan. Is there a plan B? Is there something else that we can be doing? You know, do you have, you know, those 10,000 men or those 30,000 men, you still have them on speed dial or something that you can call them up? Is it kind of a crazy plan? But he didn't get worried because of their lack of faith, because he trusted in what God heard. He heard that dream and he knew that God was going to deliver. So he didn't worry about their lack of faith. He just needed to empower them in this moment. You see, because the thing about people who trust God is that we don't really care about what the odds are. You know, they don't really care about the enemy and what the enemy has at their disposal. What they do know is that God, if God had said it, then it is done. So Gideon is not concerned about their faith, like we said, at this point. He needs to empower them to do what God has sent them to do. Let me tell you that victory does not come with having more numbers than the enemy. It doesn't come because the enemy is intimidated by who you are or who you proclaim to be. Victory comes because God has spoken and moved, and we have responded appropriately. God doesn't need more people to overpower the enemy. He empowers the people he has to be victorious. God and Gideon empowered the 300 by doing a few things. First, he gave them a promise. He said, get up. God has given you victory today. He gives us so many promises. He's promised us so many things also. He promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. He promises that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He gives us so many promises. The second thing, he gave them a promise, then he gave them a plan. He divided them into three groups with instructions. He used his resources wisely. He gives us a plan every single day through scripture in order to follow that and to spread the message of the gospel to the world. He gave us a promise, he gave us a plan, then he gives us provision. He gave them exactly what they needed. He gave them the horns and the jars with the torches, the right weapons for the job, not the ones that they thought that they would need, but the right ones for the job. You see, the reality is God will never call you where he will not equip you. So just going in, even if you do not see the tool in your hand, if God has called you to it, he will empower you and get you through it. So he gives you a promise, he gives you a plan, he gives you provision, everything that you need, and lastly, he gives you a purpose. For Gideon and the Lord, is what they were yelling, for Gideon and for the Lord. And because they knew that it was going to be accomplished through Gideon and through this army, but ultimately it was for the Lord and for his glory and for his purpose. They had to know who was rolling into camp and who was coming with him. And let's just quickly finish this last section. Help me with the names. starting in verse 18, it says this. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpet all around the camp and say, for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and cried, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, crying out as they fled. When they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shittah toward Zerara, and as far as the edge of Mahola and Tabath. Yeah, we'll just go with that. The men of Israel were summoned from Naphtali and Asher and all of Manasseh. I know that one. And they pursued Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down against Midian and take the waters before them, as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. So all of the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they took the waters as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. They captured the two. We won't read the rest of that. Let's just say they win. It's kind of graphic, so you can read it on your own if you want to. So Gideon turned those 300 men loose on the enemy, and they pursued the enemy and brought back the fruits of the battle. Well, that's a nice way of saying it. That's why we're here each week. That's why we do this. That's why we are here each week, to prepare ourselves every single week to take that message and to tell his story, to be able to fill ourselves and to be empowered and equipped to take his story to this world, this world that is so desperate for the love and for the message of Christ. That's why we're here each week, and to be empowered to impact our lives and our world every single day. Gideon had to let go of his soldiers and entrust them to do what he needed them to do. We'll not do well with what we have if we don't use it. So here's the bottom line. There will always be smarter, more capable people than you and me to accomplish certain things. None of these things matter when it comes to obeying God's call and using God's gifts. There are many more examples in Scripture where it seemed like God used the wrong people to accomplish the job. And so many times when God asks us to do something, we start to say, I'm not the right person. I don't have what it takes. I don't even know where to begin. And there's so many examples of God saying, just trust me, just do what I ask you to do, and I will equip and empower you to do that. So as we look ahead to this new year, let's try to not get lost in that lie of more, and to trust God, that God has given us what we need to share his story, his Emmanuel story, the story of God with us. That greatest story that's ever been told. So are we doing well with what we have? Are we being good stewards of what God has put in our hands? Are we using the talents and abilities that he has given us to build his kingdom? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves and reflect on. Remember, God doesn't need a better us. He just needs us to do better with what he has given us. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time and for this message that it doesn't take a better us. Father, that you have equipped and empowered us with everything that we need. Father, you have given us the things that we need to share your story. Father, I pray that each one of us are charged to take on that message and to say, yes, I will do what you ask. I believe that it doesn't take a better me. It just takes me doing better with what you have given me. Father, I pray that you help us to see those gifts and how to use those, Father. And we just trust you to lead us in those moments, in those specific conversations, in those specific relationships that each one of us have, our unique sphere of influence that each one of us has that's different than any other person. Father, use us in our families, in our workplaces, in our relationships, and in all the many different places that you have us. to do good for you and to share your story with other people. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for this morning. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.